What a transition. This gentleman is the artistic director at the Wildclaw Theater, and also, if you've ever been to Paper Machete, he is Chad the Bird at that show. This is Josh Zagarin.
So they asked me to talk about national parks. This is a story about how I got arrested in Niagara Falls. I did this story for a room full of children once. Just life is a series of going and stopping. Sometimes it's like rest stops along the highway. You're trying to succeed in getting somewhere, but sometimes you got to go to the bathroom because you've been drinking coffee for the last 4 hours and you suddenly want a Twinkie because when's the last time you had one? And you're only human, so stop and park for a second. You got a long road ahead of you. And along that road are borders that you must pass through to get where you're going, and the people are in charge of those gates. And in the moment you meet you, they police your fate. Sometimes they let you on by, no hassle, but often they don't. You can't pass. You fail. You gotta stop and wait, get more money, and change your life. So life is a series of going and stopping. And in the end, you don't control whether you pass or not. It's up to the authorities, and I learned that on a road trip to Iowa from Boston, where I went to college. So my college co-conspirator, Sam, and I had just ditched class to test drive a Chevrolet station wagon that we rescued from a scrapyard, got it running, and painted it ourselves. Now, what you heard was fixed up a car. What I said was got it running. So keep your expectations low. Like Randy Quaid would drive this low. The neighborhood asks you don't park on the street because it might decrease the property value should anyone see it low. Now, in the movie, it'd be up and running, and it looked like it just came off the assembly line. There'd be high fives and a washing, polishing decal montage, and then a shot of us on the hood at night looking at the stars, just wondering. But in reality, because that's where we all live, we got gas in it, started the engine, replaced a brake shoe, painted the whole thing chrome, and soldered a Porsche 911 spoiler to the roof because we were relentlessly high. And yes, we had ditched class for this, but I learned what a brake shoe was. So really, I was getting field credit in mechanic and repair technologies. To the casual observer, the wagon looked like someone was trying to build the future but got drunk and forgot what they were doing, and then they woke up late and they had patched it up just enough so it wouldn't explode. To the motorists on the road, the chrome paint reflected the entire sky and it shined like the sun. Like the literal sun, because it was a mobile pair of aviator sunglasses, and anyone who gazed upon it would lose sight for at least a minute. It's a miracle nobody got hurt. And it only had 3 working brakes, as we were unable to get the aforementioned brake shoe to work properly, so you could change lanes just by tapping the brakes. So that's physics. Still learning. I guess you could say we passed. To give it the NASA treatment, we drove it to Iowa, which is where I'm from. And it's at this point, I remind you, we had ditched class. The open road was everything I told it was going to be from the movies. Not that I had not experienced it being from Iowa, but this was the open road. As in, we had no rules but our own. On our way to Bartertown, with nothing but a few snacks and a little CD player, because the radio was beyond our limited knowledge. A guitar, of course, an emergency gas can. We learned early on that gas stations took one look at this and saw a traveling bomb. And, of course, our rations of marijuana, because we got this far. So everyone we met on the road referred to our conveyance as a pile of junk. But to us, that meant rebellion, because that's exactly what everybody called the Millennium Falcon. So the only argument we had was, which one of us is Chewbacca? P.S. It was me, because I'm taller, hairier, and I was so high that I could only manage a few honking barks most of the time. So on the road, it was open, and we were on it. We may have been on our way to failing a class, but by all set standards so far, we were doing all right, and that's when we thought, depending on how you define thought, what would totally make this perfect would be a stop at the great Niagara Falls. Now, for those of you not in the know, Niagara Falls is the collective name for 3 waterfalls that hang around the international border between Canada and the U.S., located right in between Ontario and New York. If you take I-90 out of Boston to 290 to 190, you'll get there. That's geography and transportation. At this point, I'm on my way to a bachelor's in applied physics, mechanics, and cartography. I'm practically an astronaut, you guys. So in the middle there somewhere, I passed out in the back seat, which was a massive fail, as Sam was no better off as he was in the driver's seat. Nobody was drinking, mind you. Safety first. Falling asleep in the back seat of a huge station wagon, by the way, is a rite of passage. and a beautiful moment that people write about in folk songs. So I took that moment, and at this point we'd barely stopped, and it was all just passing lane, waved by, sunrises, because it'd only been about 6 hours. So, fade out. Shushing past cars, road signs, Beta Band on the CD player, Sam's smoking spicy cigarettes, wafting past the back window, just moving forward. And then, flash forward, totally not high anymore, Sam and I are sitting in what we assumed was, I skipped a page. Pause your podcast. Pause it. No, I'm just kidding. Don't mind. No spoilers, you guys, for real. Hang on. Here it comes. There it goes. Okay. When someone wakes you up from a mid-afternoon peace dream, reality is like underground music in a lounge. It's muffled, unfocused, and a mess. Things are too tall, too loud, oddly proportioned because you haven't adjusted to consciousness, and it's rude, especially when it's armed cops like it's a zombie apocalypse. I woke up to the sound of shouting, and looking up out the window saw a SWAT team of cops with drawn guns asking us politely to exit the vehicle, okay? Which we did. Now, dig, if you will, this picture. Two 20-something men, one in a tan linen suit, the other a Baja hoodie and hemp shorts, coming from Boston, standing next to a chromed station wagon that seemed to lean as we were, half awake, half nervous, surrounded by cops, big cops, with very large guns. None of us were going anywhere, and all of us were confused. But mostly, I was mad, because we'd stopped. There was no need to stop. We were on the road. We had a plan. Niagara Falls. We were in charge. We decided when to stop and why. But here we were, against our will, at a standstill. Now, the wagon was first to be searched, and of course they found all manner of things to put on the record, and then we had to turn out our pockets, like lads getting caught stealing chocolate, which in the movie would be dramatic, but in reality, because that's where we live, it was embarrassing. They asked us, should they remove our luggage and take apart the car, would they find anything? And we asked them not to, because we just built the damn thing, and it was being held together by a duct tape thread. All of this was polite, by the way. To the cursory viewer, it would have appeared that we were just discussing the menu. And they didn't take apart the car. I guess they'd gotten what they needed from the wagon, so they escorted us into the police station, where I was sent into a cold room while Sam was sent into another room. This is where it gets dicey. In the room that I was in, a new, taller cop politely asked me to remove all of my clothing, as it was my turn to be searched. This was 9 in the morning, by the way. Ugh. And mind you, I still didn't know where I was. And it's at this point I have to point out how willing one can be on a road trip. You'll stop for anyone with authority. This could have been an elaborate roadside prank where nothing ends well, but you see a person in a uniform, you stop and do as you're told. Obviously, the reality was worse. We were being arrested, clearly for some sort of drug possession, terrorist, road warrior reason, total fail. So then flash forward. Totally not high anymore. Sam and I are sitting in what we assume was the chief's office while he was grilling us, and yet so polite. And it's hard to answer questions from an authority-esque figure who has stopped your progress, put up a wall, put himself into a position where he alone controls your egress, and whom has yet to tell you where you were. Him. What were you thinking? Us. We weren't. Him. Did you realize this is a felony? Us. We did now. Him. Why did you think it was a good idea to drive past the Canadian border with a bag of illegal substances? Us. Wait, what? We're in Canada? The politeness. Of course. Now it was clear. We were at an actual border. The chief was baffled. Where did you think we were? I answered. Niagara Falls. The chief, you thought the border was Niagara Falls. Didn't the sign tip you off? Sam jumped on his cue because he was driving, and he said, yeah. And I, attempting to sound as if I had an iota of an idea of what was going on, said with dawning realization, I thought this was pretty stiff security for Niagara Falls. All right, said the chief, reminding us that here was an impasse, and he alone would grant us passage. I'm going to let you go. Sweet. With a fine. Great. No problem. Because you're both too stupid to be a threat. Absolutely goddamn correct. And with that, we were banned for 2 years from ever coming to Canada, which was fine. I was still in school, technically, at that moment. So, lesson learned. Stay in class. On our way out, he noted to us both, hey, you got a long drive back. Just make sure you guys stay friends. Note. Canadians are polite. That is advanced international relations. Maybe I will become an ambassador. We were back in the wagon, Drove up to the border guard for our side. Yet another gatekeeper. This one wonderfully unaware of the journey, like he was the munchkin at the gate and we were a horse of a different color. We gave him the papers. He asked us how the stay was and we shook our heads. Sam had cued Born in the USA on the CD player, which should have been funny, but it was just sad. And we had a long, very unhigh drive when after a good 10 hours... we were pulled over in Illinois for speeding. Were we speeding? We didn't know. At this point, we only knew we were definitely not in Canada. A familiarly taciturn man asked us for our necessaries, when, where, why, how, etc., and apologized for pulling us over, but they had to fill a quota. This guy is just doing his job. No harm, no foul, no conspiracy. When he asked if he searched the wagon, would he find anything, we seemed in a hurry, suspicious, rushed. Did we have anything illegal in the car? And I said... shit, no, man, the Canadians took it all. Because at this roadblock, at this wall in our way, only the truth would do. The Illinois trooper, perhaps bored, perhaps baffled, told us to hang on a second. And then he totally got his partner out of the squad car to come out, and they asked us to step out of the car, but just to tell them the story. At the end of the story, the patrolman, downright elated by this sailor's yarn we'd spun for them, asked if we liked cigars. And of course we did. And they offered us some premium Coronas they had stolen from the mayor's office. And of course, we smoked them there and then on the hood of that cruiser. And I realized that although I had most definitely failed that class, I learned something greater. In the course of a day, we'd met with many obstacles, challenges, stops on the road, and like Odysseus, Ishmael, Mario, and Link alike, we got to move on to the next level. The game was not over. And yes, we did make it to Iowa, and yes, we did make it back to Boston, and we did graduate. But it didn't matter. What was important was sitting on that squad car, smoking Michael Anthony Blyandick's cigars with the two troopers, because had we not set out, we would not be there. And none of it had been up to us. We merely set out and let the fates decide what gates would get through and how far we could go. Because life is stopping and starting. And most of it, you can't control. And that is 100% true. Thank you. They just kept laughing. I didn't swear.
Oh.
But when I got to the part where I said marijuana, I just said, wacky leaf. I didn't know it was a bunch of kids. And I was like, I'm going to read this anyway because it's kind of got Star Wars.
I have never not been stopped going into the Canadian border. I've never been doing anything wrong. But one time I was going with Andrew and his comedy partner, Chris Blake. I was going to take a show for them at Toronto Sketch Fest. And the two officers who searched my car, I swear to God, Andrew will corroborate, their names were Officer Vandal and Officer Bourgeois.
That's fantastic.
That is 100% true.
Vandal was actually even crazier, Eric.
Yeah.
Last summer... I was catching a connecting flight through Canada to France, and the Canadian customs guy was Officer Vandal.
No!
I'm pretty sure it's the same guy.
Your history
reassigned.
Your history is tied to Officer Vandal.
I was going to say something, and I was like, it's probably like the most suspicious thing I've ever
I've been watching you. That's so bizarre. Anyway, guys.